our mind and our heart. Let's say it together. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The next one, verses 3 and 4, we have a shift. When he says, I lift my eyes to the hills, where does my help come from? He's talking in the first person. And now we have a shift to the second person. A second voice begins to sing. The word switches from my to your. It's as if there's a couple scenarios that could be happening here where we're gathering together as a group and they're on a journey together, just like you and I in this community of faith on a journey together. And maybe this second voice is the first one saying stanza 1 and 2, I lift my eyes and says this, and there's a response by others within the group that are ascending up to Jerusalem. But it could also mean something else. It could mean that the psalmist is speaking to himself or herself. Do you ever talk to yourself? You ever talk to yourself? It's a good thing to talk to yourself unless you are talking nonsense to yourself. Then that's not a good thing. But talking to yourself is not a bad thing. Many times we have talks with ourselves. So I don't know if this translation from the next part, from first to second person, is whether it's gathering together different people or if the psalmist is talking to himself. And if he's talking to himself, then he's giving three assurances about God's help. It says this: He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will never slumber nor sleep. It seems to suggest to us that our foot will not slip, and he's continually watching over us, and we're not slumber or sleep. Our God does not sleep on us. I think back to that wonderful moment in Scripture on Mount Carmel, where Elijah is there with the prophets of Baal, and there's a battle happening on Mount Carmel. And Elijah knows that his God does not sleep. He knows that his God does not slumber. But there were the prophets of Baal presenting their God. And Elijah has a little fun with them. It's kind of funny at times if you think about it. He says, hey, you know, why is things not happening? Maybe your God is asleep. Maybe he forgot to set the alarm, like maybe some here this morning, or 1 hour difference. But this back and forth suggests with Elijah on Mount Carmel that his God does not sleep. His God never turns his phone off at night. His God never dozes or slumbers. His God may be called at any time, at any place, for any circumstance. Not only that he hears, but he keeps and he watches. And throughout this Hebrew text of Psalm 121, there is one word repeated called shamar. It's repeated 6 times in this psalm. And the translation is to watch or to keep. Throughout this whole 8 verses, we hear this translation of watching and keeping and preserving and watching over us. What an encouragement for us to know that we have a God that doesn't sleep, that protects us and cares for us, and he guides us and blesses us, and he cares for us individually as well as corporately. So whether it's a battle on Mount Carmel where Elijah calls out his God, and yet there's these idols that are in our ears and things that happen in culture around us that are giving us the saying that that is the God you need to put your trust and your faith in, on people or things. And Elijah would say to us today, if he was here, is this. He says, I don't hear your God. Your God cannot speak. Your God cannot do things. But my God, he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He watches over all of Israel, and he watches over all of us. And so let's review again as we continue for the next part. It says this, we'll say this together. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep.
I invite you to listen and meditate as I sing this next song.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for?
The next one is, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord watches over each one of us. And there seems to be a pair of opposites that are described here to include everything in between. That we will not die of sunstroke, nor become a loony. By the way, moonstruck. By the way, a lunatic is in the dictionary. There seems to be a suggestion that maybe this moonstruck, this lunar cycles and other things, this populist notion that maybe we get into our heads, it could mean that we will not die of sunstroke, that things will happen to us, we'll be protected, and this moonstruck part that God watches over us, and those times that maybe at night when we're in the darkness of night, when our minds sometimes race and things happen and we start thinking things and maybe they're not the most pleasant things in life, that those moments we can say that God watches over us, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And on this journey, both day and night, according to the psalmist, is threatening. The blistering heat, leaving travelers parched and thirsty. Sunburnt with no shade nor oasis in sight. But for God's people, the promise of the psalmist says that for you and me, the Lord is your shade at your right hand. And this word shade can also be translated shadow. And I think back to Psalm 91, where it says this, I will sing in the shadow of your wings. I love that. I will sing in the shadow of your wings, which means that when we're close to the Lord, he has his shadow, his wings over us, protecting us, screening us, not just from the sun, but from other things. And no better story of that was when God led Israel out of Egypt. There was this presence of God, cloud by day and pillars of fire by night. God is still guarding us. God is still watching us. There may be things that happen in our lives. There may be things that go on. But he's talking about these things that lurk day and night, that are dangerous to our souls. And he says, 24/7, 365, I will be along with you on the journey. That I know the journey is difficult, and I know that we get wore out and exhausted, and I know there's these night terrors and things that plays with our brains at night. But Paul wrote this in Philippians 4. He said, the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So remember that the God who made the heavens and earth, the one who made the sun and the moon, will be there to watch over us. And then we have, again, as we go and say this together, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the noon by night. The last verses in this Psalm 121 is this. It says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. So this suggests, as we look at this, that the Lord will keep you from all harm. It suggests that maybe nothing bad will happen to you. But we know that's not true. Because each one of us can say a lot of bad things have happened to us. There's no exemption from the rigors of life. Loved ones die. Children disappoint us. Businesses go bad. We disappoint each other. Viruses go viral. And yet when we read this, we ask the question, how does this really work? Because we know that there is harm. And we know that God does watch over us. So how do we do this? I think the way we do this is this. We need to stand back to get a better picture. We need a wider lens view of not just Psalm 121, but what the Bible reveals in its entirety. That so many times we look at these verses and we zero in and we get so caught into these words and we get stuck. And so these are one of these times where we need to pull back a wider lens and ask ourselves, how would you sing Psalm 121? In light of that. Well, if we're going to pull back, we're going to have a wider lens view, then we need to have a wider lens view. So let's make this another example. How would Joseph sing Psalm 121? How would he sing that? In the pit. There's Joseph in the pit. He will not let your foot slip. How's that working for you, Joseph? Stripped naked and sold into slavery. He will keep you from all harm and evil. Sold to Potiphar's family. Despised by his own family. What is the answer? Well, with the view back, the lens is wide. We can now zero back into the story of Joseph and realize that Joseph gives us the answer. He greets his brother and he says this, "You intended it for harm, but God intended it for good." In the economy of God, even the evil, the bad, the difficult, the disappointments is actually employed by God. So from the vantage of eternity, we will see things differently. I don't know about you, but when I head to eternity, I have a whole lot of questions. I'm going to take a whole lot of questions to eternity. And I wish that the answer would come long before eternity. But many of us will take so many questions into eternity. But this we do know. From a wide lens, from the promises we have about eternity, we know this, that God employs evil deeds and intentions to defeat evil itself. We see that throughout Scripture. And that doesn't give us comfort at times, does it? Because it's hard for us to think about it from an eternal's perspective. It's hard for us to take all of our questions and all of the things that are going along in our lives. It's hard for us to wait to eternity to get the answers. So where do we go? Where do we go with all of our questions? Where do we go when it says the Lord will keep you from all harm, he will watch over your life, where do we go? And I think here in this Lent season, that the place we go, the journey that we're on, like those that were heading up to Jerusalem, there's nowhere else to go but to go to the cross of Jesus. There's nowhere else to go. There's nowhere else to go to carry our questions, our doubts, our things that we don't know about. There's no other place to go but to the feet of Jesus. Because it is difficult. Harm does come. We do deal with a whole bunch of things that are difficult in our lives. And to think that God employs, doesn't make it happen, employs evil deeds and does things, intentions to defeat evil itself. That's hard for us to wrap our heads around. And that's why when we read scripture, we get so tunnel vision on one verse or two verses. And it doesn't make sense. And so we want to just throw the rest of it out. But we need to step back. We as a church need to step back and look at the wider view, the wider lens. And to just know that when we hear Psalm 121 and the promises that we have, the Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forever. It means that he will watch over us in eternity, but he will watch over us as we go through life. And when we get stuck, when the answers do not seem to fit the question, we can go to the cross of Jesus and rest. Let us stand, please. Let's hear these words together, all of them now. I want to say these words all together. We've gone through every stanza, and now we're going to say it together as a promise, as something that's going to seep into our hearts. It's going to say this. I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Wash over your life. The Lord will wash over your coming and going.
As we close today with Psalm 121, I'm reminded back to the story in Luke about Jesus. When he says to his followers that he has numbered the hairs on their head. And when I think about that he numbers the hair on their head, that he knows the numbers on their head. And when if I was those people hearing that, I would have felt cared for. I would have felt loved. I would have felt that he knows all about me. But the tension of that is what happens right around that same time when he says, some of you will die. Some of you will be martyred. And so we have this story of in Luke 12 about how he knows the number on our hairs, on our head, and that care. And then he says, but some of you will be persecuted. Some of you will be martyred. But I will care for you. Let me close with this quote from Eugene Peterson. It says this: the Christian life is not a quiet escape to the garden where we can walk and talk uninterrupted with the Lord, nor a fantasy trip to a heavenly city where we can compare blue ribbons and gold medals with others who have made it to the winner's circle. The Christian life is going to God. And going to God, Christians travel the same ground that everyone else walks, breathe the same air, drink the same water, shop in the same stores, read the same newspapers, are citizens under the same governments, pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline, fear the same dangers, are subject to the same pressures, get the same distresses, are buried in the same ground. The difference is that each step we walk, each breath that we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God. We know we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure, when accidents we experience, the Lord will preserve us from evil. He will keep and watch our life.
My joy, my rock.
Sisters and brothers, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. And all God's people said, Amen.
To this I hope.